Today we're going to take a look at what happens on the Monday of Holy Week, the day after Palm Sunday. And to read our scripture this morning, Caitlin, our lovely, she just plays the violin, she can read scripture. So we're in Mark chapter 11.
Mark chapter 11, 12 through 25. There we go. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching.
Amen.
When evening came, they went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours.
Amen.
And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins."
Amen. Thank you.
Wow.
That's a couple of exciting things, right? People say the Bible's boring. You got a dude cursing a fig tree, the thing withers up, going into the temple, turning everything upside down, and people say following Jesus is boring. Well, before we get into that, I want to say a welcome. We've been talking about our values. A couple weeks ago, we talked about love all, and the rocks up here represented things that we felt were getting in the way between us and God, being able to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbors, and even as hard as it is sometimes to love ourselves. You'll see the chair, the foot washing, and don't worry, I'm not taking off my shoes again. Well, unless the Lord needs. And we talked about how we will serve all, how Jesus washed both Peter's feet and Judas' feet. You know, and it's an example that we should serve everyone by washing their feet. And today we're talking about welcoming all. What does it mean to embrace and to welcome everyone? And I want to welcome some of you who just came back from a mission trip to New Orleans, right? You got back like this morning. And so welcome back. Welcome back from your trip. And Joyce, welcome back. And I know you guys are tired. If they fall asleep, give them a pass, okay? Don't poke them with the palm thing. Just, you know, they just may need a little extra sleep, all right? If that guy in the back falls asleep, definitely poke him and wake him up, because I know he got plenty of rest last night. So I want to share with you to begin with a story, something very strange that happened to me several years ago. And it was when I first started going to Mexico and doing ministry trips down there. And by the way, we have a great team going to Mexico this summer. We've partnered with House of Praise and Worship here in Hartford, and they have 9 people that are going from House of Praise and Worship, and we have 10 people that are going from Hartford City Church. And I went ahead and got a couple extra tickets, so I have a couple extra spots. If you want to talk to me like now, okay? Because there's a couple of spots, because I know some of you just, you know, haven't responded to the Lord's call yet. I mean, you're still thinking about what you want to do, and we're going to, you know, give you a little bit of time to think about that, but it's going to be an awesome trip. But I began doing this, you know, some 20 of some years ago, and about the third year I was going to Mexico, I took this team down from San Diego, and the organization we were with, they would assign you a church to go to, and you would go, and you would work at that church all week. And so we were going to a new church, they said, and we're like, okay, it works out, we'll go to a new church. We follow the directions, we get to this little dirt road, we turn off the main road, we go into this little dirt road, and we get to the end, the road kind of dead ends, we can't go any further, and we still didn't see any church. Like, we're looking around, there's no church, no building is, we're not sure where to go. So we're like, are we in the right place? On one side was this hill, and on this hill was like probably 30 different homes, and there were footpaths kind of crisscrossing up the hill, and then there was just a few little houses on the other side of the street. And they said, no, this is the place we're supposed to go, this is the direction. So we go, and we knock on the door, and we find this lady, and we say, we're looking for the church, and she's like, this is it. I'm like, this is it? She's like, it's my house. I'm like, oh, it's your house. Okay, we got about 30 of us here. We may not fit in your house, but we're going to make this work. Okay, the church is your house. So I'll be next. I said, well, where's the pastor? Can we talk to the pastor? She's like, oh, we don't have a pastor. I'm like, all right, so you don't have a building. You don't have a pastor. They sent us out here with 30 people. We're supposed to do like kids ministry, sports stuff, you know, music. We're like, how are we going to do this in our house? I'm like, well, is anybody else from the church here? She's like, well, the church is just me and my brother here and his friend. I'm like, so the whole church is here. All right, praise God, we're ready to go. And I said, do you understand what we're supposed to be doing here? And she's like, oh, yes. I, you know, I talked to your organization. It's all worked out. She's like, just do it right there in the street. I'm like, just right there in the street? I'm like, okay. Fortunately, and this was God, one of the guys just randomly brought a portable sound system. I mean, I know that doesn't sound random, but that's how God works. He's like, just in case we need it. And I'm thinking, we're not going to need it, but he stuffs it in the vans. And so we get there, and I'm like, I guess we need it, you know? So we, and I don't know how many extension cords we had. I think the Lord expanded the extension cords. Because this cord went out, dude left, came back 3 hours later. So it's plugged in. I don't know what happened. I don't know where that extension cord went. But it came. It was, so I had the keyboard, had the sound system set up, a little mic. You know, the kids were all gathering, sitting down. We started to do the music in the afternoon. And then in the evening, we'd set up some chairs, and we'd do the music. And I would turn the speakers towards the hill, where all the people were. And the people would come out of the houses, like, and they would stand on their porch, and they would listen. You know, and they would hear, and like several of the people up there, afterwards, we would hike up the hill, and like two or three of them became Christians. They gave their lives to Christ. And the lady who's the church, her brother and his friend became a Christian. So the church wasn't just her and her brother and his friend. It was her and her brother who wasn't a Christian, and his friend who wasn't a Christian. Really, this lady was the church. What it wasn't about was that this lady was the church. She wanted the church, and she was going to have a church. It didn't matter what anybody said, I'm going to have a church in this street. So we started having a church in this street. But what happened was about the third day, there was this pit bull. And this pit bull was like kind of a nasty pit bull, not a nice one, just kind of growling and angry. And as soon as we started to play the music, this pit bull would like get angry. Would like, and it would go around to the kids and it would be like, you know, just kind of scaring the kids. And it happened every time. I mean, I see this pit bull and I hear him growling. And I'm like, this is back in the day, you know. Would I lift your name on high? And I stopped, and the dog stopped. And he kind of get quiet and went away. I'm like, all right, that's weird. Lord, I love every single time that happened. And so some of the leaders came to me, some of the kids, they're like, Pastor Phil, we got a problem, this dog. I said, I know that dog's a problem. He starts barking and growling every time we start the music. They said, no, he's scaring the kids. He's like coming up and he's trying to nip at them. And we're just scared about this dog. So this is what I did. I stopped right at that moment and I prayed against that dog. I said, in Jesus' name, curse that pit bull. May he never bark again. I'm telling you, that pit bull left. Amen. That pit bull left. We had everything was fine. The next day, pit bull didn't show up. Pit bull was gone. I'm like, it worked. My prayer worked. I prayed against that pit bull and it worked. The pit bull was gone. I'm telling you, this was weird to me. It may sound weird to you. It was weird to me, okay? The next day, our last day, the pit bull comes back. It's limping. It had a broken leg. That pit bull, I know, wasn't it terrible? But it was a mean pit bull. And I cursed it because I felt like I had to. But hold on, Lisa, it gets worse. It gets worse. So I said, oh, I cursed that pit bull. He's got a bad leg. He's not going to bother the kids anymore. You know, he's humble, okay? One of the girls that was working with us, Tatum, she decided she was going to go back every 3 months and try to help this lady start her church, right? So 3 months later, she goes back. She gets back. She calls me on the phone. She's like, Pastor Phil, remember that pit bull that you cursed? I'm like, yes. She's like, well, they found out that it has cancer. I'm like, it has cancer? I'm like, oh, man. 3 months later, she goes again. She comes back. She's like, Pastor Phil, remember that pit bull that you cursed? It broke its leg. It's got cancer. I'm like, yes, of course I do. She's like, it's blind. It can't see anymore. Oh, my God. I'm like, the dog is blind? Another 3 months pass. She calls me on the phone again. I'm like, oh, Tatum. She's like, you know that pit bull? I said, yes, I know the pit bull that I cursed. And the leg was broken, and it has cancer, it's blind. She's like, it's dead. I cursed that pit bull to death. I've never had anything happen like that since, okay? So don't anybody get worried about me around the fence. But in that moment, I actually experienced what this story was about. I kind of understand what Jesus was doing here. He was in a moment, you know, where he was hungry. I mean, he was on his way to do something. He had business to do. You ever been on your way, you know, and your breakfast just isn't ready for you? I mean, it kind of puts you in some kind of mood, doesn't it? You know, you ever drive up to your favorite breakfast place and they're all out? God forbid. I mean, I tried that once at Dunkin' Donuts. They said, we're out of donuts. I'm like, what? You're Dunkin' Donuts. How can you be out of donuts? Like, I got a muffin left. No, I don't want a muffin. I didn't come to Dunkin' Muffins. I came to Dunkin' Donuts. So Jesus is hungry, and he gets up, and he's got a job to do, which we're going to get into. He's got this job that he's got to do. He's on a purpose. He's on a mission, all right? And there's no figs on this fig tree, and he gets mad, he curses it, and then he goes into the temple, right? And in the temple, he starts to turn things over and clear the tables and stop people from what they're doing and chase other people out. Now, before we get into that story, I want to talk about the fig tree. Like, well, what is the purpose of the fig tree then? Well, clearly, in this story, the fig tree is symbolic. That's why it's placed right there. What the fig tree is symbolic of is the temple where the people of God are supposed to worship. So what happened was this fig tree was not producing any fruit. It wasn't serving any purpose. It wasn't giving Jesus or God anything that it was supposed to. And so he said, your time is done. It says the fig tree was out of season. It was that your time has come and is done. And what was true of that fig tree was true of the temple of God, the place where people were to come and have access to God, was not producing any fruit, therefore. It was not doing what it was intended to do. It was no longer pleasing to God or giving anything to God. Therefore, its season was done and its time was over. And the fig tree was just a little preview of what Jesus was about to do in the temple. Now, as we get into this story about what Jesus did in the temple, and some of us have heard this story, and some of us maybe you're hearing it for the first time, I want to tell you what this story is not, okay? So first of all, we're going to look at what this story is not, because people use this story in a couple of standard ways, right? One, they say first, well, look, it's okay to get angry because Jesus got angry. Remember, Jesus that one time got angry, and he turned over the temple. I'm like, well, don't forget about the fig tree, you know, maybe he was hangry, we don't know. He's like, turned around, you know, he was upset, he was angry, so it's okay for me to get angry. I want to tell you this morning, I think it is a wrong interpretation to use this passage of scripture to justify your own anger. I'm going to explain that in just a minute. And the second thing is, people use it to say, well, you shouldn't sell anything at the church. You shouldn't sell tickets to the spring fling or sell cookies for the fundraiser or have any kind of money change hands in the church. You know, some churches have bookstores, some churches have coffee shops, and people say, this passage says that that's wrong. No, it's about so much more than that. I'm going to get into that in a minute. So first of all, is Jesus angry? Never says he's angry. Never once uses that word. Never once says what his emotional state is. Just because we get angry when we're hungry doesn't mean that Jesus did, right? I mean, it's possible. There's a lot of circumstantial evidence that Jesus was angry, but it doesn't say he was angry. In fact, the only word that's used to describe his emotion is in the book of John when he retells the story, and it says that, oh, I remember this verse, zeal for your house will consume me. And they said, what it looks like Jesus is experiencing is zeal. Well, zeal is not anger. Zeal is like this passion. It's like, it almost looks like anger, but it's a real passionate kind of, like, I want to see things made right. I mean, I'm really firm. I'm really strong about this. And I'm going to stand my ground, right? And it can look like anger, but it's not necessarily anger. It's zealous. So Jesus was zealous. I mean, if you want to get zealous about something, then get zealous about something. On one hand, Jesus may not be angry at all. So therefore, don't try to use it to justify your own anger. There's circumstantial evidence that he is angry. So I'm going to give you both sides, both possibilities. If he is angry, then understand that Jesus was doing something very specific, that he was appointed to do this one time. He had come into Jerusalem on a donkey. He was fulfilling all kinds of prophecies about the Messiah, the Savior King. Jesus was flat out saying, if there's any question, let me answer the question. I am the Messiah. I am the Savior. I am the King. I am the one who has authority to do this. And remember, friends, Jesus has unique authority. Just because Jesus did something in his authority doesn't mean that we get to do something in our authority. And this whole thing is about the authority of Jesus. Because it's not just that something's wrong in the temple. The whole temple's about to be destroyed. The whole way of worship is about to change. You see, there was this system whereby people could come to God through the temple, right? And nobody could have access to God except the high priest. There was a veil that separated. What happened when Jesus died on the cross? You know, 4 days later, the veil was torn. It was ripped. The temple is about to be destroyed several decades after Jesus walked this earth. The temple time is over, and Jesus is coming to pronounce that your time is done. People had to bring sacrifices, right? They had to sacrifice animals and birds so that their sins would be forgiven. Well, what's going to happen on Good Friday? Jesus is going to die on the cross, right? And then he's going to become the once and for all sacrifice, right? So all these sacrifices in just a couple days aren't going to matter anymore. Because Jesus is like, you may have served your purpose, you had your time, you had your season, but your season is over. You are a fig tree that has no fruit. You are about to wither and die because something greater is coming. And I don't think Jesus needed to get mad to do it. I think he could have walked in his authority and his power and come to that table and been like, flip, flip. You stop. No, stop. Put it down. Put it down. Do not carry that stuff through here no more. Because remember all the time he's teaching people. Did you catch that part of the story? He's not just going on some wild rampage, right? He's teaching people. Jesus clears the temple. But no, he doesn't clear the temple like that. Don't worry. Jesus, all the time he's teaching people, right? He's teaching. He's saying, and the people are amazed. Why are they amazed? Because of his what? Authority. That's your key word, authority. This is about the authority of Jesus. And there are some things that happen only once. Jesus died on the cross once. Jesus rose from the dead once. He came in on a donkey once. And he came into the temple and he said, listen, for this time and place, this is what's happening. Because the temple's not around anymore. Amen. But Jesus came and said, I have a mission. I have a purpose. Right? And even if he's angry, if we want to talk about a righteous anger, it's like someone was telling me, I think Jenny was telling me, and if Jenny was telling me, it was probably from Tim Keller, that God's anger is like more like a surgical strike. Like it had a very specific purpose, right? And it was focused. Our anger gets all sloppy, right? We just start yelling at everybody, you know? And that's just because we're different. You know, we don't know how, we're almost not equipped. You know, we need to submit ourselves to God and to his authority. And I think that's the real issue of this passage, is who has the authority to do this. How do I know that? Because what do the leaders, the authorities, ask right after this happens, right after Jesus talks about prayer moving mountains? If you look a little further in the chapter, the chief priests, the elders, the teachers of the law, they came to Jesus. They said, where do you get this authority? They didn't even question that he had authority. They wanted to know where it came from. Where do you get this authority? And Jesus did not answer them. You know why? Because he was not going to put himself under their authority. He's like, I don't need to tell you where my authority comes from. I am who I am. In fact, he asked them a question. They can't answer it. And he says, well, if you can't answer it, too bad. Uh-huh. And that's it. That's Jesus' attitude. He's the one who has full authority to do this. And that's what we need to remember, is that Jesus has authority. And by his authority, he's able to do the things that he does. Which is what? Which is to just, the temple had become a mess. There was corruption, right? He said, it's supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations, but you made it like a den of robbers or a den of thieves, right? And so obviously the money changing that was going on wasn't on the up and up. People were coming from all over the world, right? They had their own coins, and some of their coins had pictures of their leaders or their gods on it. That was offensive to the Jews. Their law said no graven images, no idols. So they had to exchange that money for temple money, so that they could then pay whatever they needed to pay for. And those who were traveling didn't want to carry the animals with them. So they're like, well, we'll sell animals here. We'll sell you the sacrifices here. You can buy them here. And all of this stuff, all of this clutter gathered up so that people were hindered from coming to God. And they put up walls and they said, if you're not Jewish, if you're from another race, you got to stay in this area. And if you're a woman, you got to stay in this area. And we've got all of these divisions and all of these rules. And they took what God had given them and they cluttered it and they corrupted it. Wow. And what is Jesus doing by his authority? Is he's clearing out the corruption and the clutter. Amen. That had come to prohibit people from being able to worship God. Thank you. Let me say that again. Jesus got rid of the corruption and the clutter that were keeping people from being able to worship. Amen. God. The authority of Jesus. Look with me really quick at Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 15. It says, the Son, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Jesus Christ, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones or powers, rulers or authorities, all things were created by Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ. There is no higher authority because he created the authorities. And they were created for him and by him. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. In everything, Jesus has the supremacy. For God was pleased to have his fullness, all his fullness, dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth, things in heaven, by making peace through his blood that was shed on the cross. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus has the authority. Okay, that's the point. Jesus has the authority. There are some things Jesus can do that nobody else is going to do. But there are other things that Jesus did that he told us that we should do. And what we need to do is we need to learn to operate in the authority of God. Let me move to my next point. How did he use that authority? He used that authority on behalf of others. Amen? He used that authority on behalf of those who were being hindered from coming to worship. From those who were not able to get in. From those who were being cheated. From those who were being burdened. From those who were being spiritually abused and manipulated. He came on behalf of the women, on behalf of the Gentiles, the other races, on behalf of the children in some senses. He said, listen, I came on behalf of the poor. I became on behalf of the outcast. I came for everyone that you say is on the outside. And you've created so much junk that they can't get inside. And so I'm going to use my power and my authority to clear the table. And Jesus clears a path for all of us to come to God, right? Jesus clears a path for all of us to come to God. He talks about it sometimes in parables and stories. He says the kingdom of God, it's like a banquet that a king is giving. The king with all authority. And he invites people to come to this banquet. And those people don't want to come. So what does he do? This is in Matthew chapter 22. Verse 8, he says to the servants, the wedding banquet's ready, but those who are invited didn't come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. Anyone. Amen. Get out there and invite anyone. Bring them in. And then he goes on to teach his people. He teaches them in Luke chapter 14, verse 13. He says, but when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, then you will be blessed, even though they can't pay you back. Everybody should be invited. Everybody is welcome at the table. We've been talking about that, right? For weeks and months. Everyone is welcome at the table because Jesus clears the way and says, my house. Hear the authority? Whose house? My house. My house will be a house of prayer for what? All nations. All nations. And what has God commanded us to do? What did Jesus command us to do with his authority? What authority have we been given? Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. We go in the authority of Jesus when we invite everyone to come into God's kingdom and to receive his love and to be welcome. So when we say we will welcome all at Hartford City Church, we do so because Jesus told us to.
Amen.
And we do it under his authority. When we serve one another, when we help each other, no matter who you are, where you come from, and we wash each other's feet, we do it because Jesus commanded it. He said, what I have done, you should do also.
Amen.
How come it's so hard for us as followers of Christ to follow Christ? We forget that he is the authority. So many churches are arguing over what they should do. So many churches are like, well, who has the authority? Well, it's the elders, well, it's the deacons, well, it's this, it's that, it's the other. Well, who's in charge? Well, the pastor says one thing, and this guy says another thing, and this woman says another thing. And I believe Jesus is just like, stop it! It's my house. It's my body. It's my church. It's my kingdom. It's my world, by the way, because I made it, and I made it for me. And you're arguing over who's going to be in charge and what to do. Come on now. Jesus said, you need to welcome everybody. He told us what to do. He's like, get out there. Get out on the street corners. Why do you think we go out on the street corner every morning? Because that verse said, go out on the street corner and invite anyone to come in. And that's what you guys have been doing. Praise God. Thank you guys that have been out there. Thank you guys that have been out there doing something that needs to be done, inviting people to come in. Thank you for those of you who came in. You should know that you are welcome here. That you are welcome here. That you have a place here. That you belong. That you belong here. At Hartford City Church, when we say welcome all, we will be a place where everyone can belong. And everyone has the opportunity to believe. For we will accept and embrace everyone. Now, some Christians get a little freaked. Wait a minute. Because we think that acceptance means approval. Can I just speak to that for a minute? Amen. Because I think we've got the wrong word going on here. I'm not in the business of approval. I'm serious. And I don't think any church should be in the business of approval. Because if I'm working with someone, and this person's struggling, they've got a really low self-esteem, they're not sure who they are, what would I say to them? I'd say, don't look for anybody else's approval. Seek God's approval. God's the only one that can approve you. Then what do? We turn around and we judge people. Well, we can't accept everyone because we might approve of them. Well, stop approving. It's not your place. I don't need to approve what you do. I'm not God. That's between you and God. Let God approve what you're going to do. Rather, I think a better word is agree. So let's use that word instead of approve, okay? If I accept you, that doesn't mean I agree with every decision you make, does it? No. Who am I to judge between whether one bad decision is worse than another? I don't know. I won't agree with you in every decision you make, but I will accept you and embrace you. Amen. So here's how I want to describe it for Hartford City Church. When people come to Hartford City Church, we will welcome and embrace everyone. We won't agree with every decision that's made, but together we will seek God's will for our lives. Amen. 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 Does that sound good? We will accept you and welcome you. We won't agree with every decision that's made, but together we will seek God's will for, right? God's authority, God's plan for our lives. And some people say, well, you know, does this mean that you just think everybody is going to go to heaven, everybody gets saved? I wish everybody would, but I know they won't, because let me state unequivocally, salvation and eternal life is found only in Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is found everywhere and anywhere. And in a lot of places that we don't think about. Amen. Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, but he's found everywhere. Because he says, go out and give this message everywhere, every place, every nation. Here's some other things that we're going to commit to. I want you to know, as you're thinking about this church, as you're thinking about being a part of what God's doing here, as leadership, as the people who are leaders, again, we're going to model servant leadership. We're going to make a decision that relationships are more important than decisions. Amen? Relationships are more important than decisions, and people are more important than programs. Amen. And that's the way things are going to be right here. It's not going to be this top-down authority thing. Relationships are always going to be more important than a decision, and people are more important than programs.
Amen.
And here's one simple thing, amen. One simple thing that would help us all, if we would just give up the right to have things go our own way. Amen. It's a simple thing. I just give up the right to have things go my own way. No, I can just take a deep breath and I can just be a part of this community. So Jesus is exercising his authority by saying this temple thing is done. You can now come to God through me, through what I'm about to do. And he gets rid of the clutter and the corruption that keeps people from being able to worship God, right? And it makes me question, what do we need to clear away? Remember, we talked about it in our own lives, right? These things on the rocks, they're things that are wrong. But they're things that are good, too. There's just clutter. There's clutter and corruption in our hearts. And we need to clear that out so that our hearts can worship God. That's on the individual level. And that's important because the Bible says, where's the temple now? You, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why the temple building was destroyed, because now the Holy Spirit dwells in you. You are the temple. And if there's things in your life that are cluttering, if there's corruption in your heart, Jesus needs to come in and turn over the tables of your heart, amen? And he needs to chase out some things that need to be chased out, and he needs to stop some things that need to be stopped, and he needs to just clear it out.
Amen.
And that's what we've been talking about, and that's what we've been working on. But get this, you ready for the next level? You ready?
Yes.
Anybody ready for the next level? Oh, come on, you ready?
Yes.
Next level is this. He's building us together to become the temple by which his spirit dwells. That we together are living stones, the Bible says, being put together as the temple of God. It's this group, it's this body, it's the body of Christ. We are the temple of God. So we've got to ask ourselves, as a group, is there anything that's keeping people from God?
Yes.
Is there any clutter or corruption that's keeping people from God? Amen?
Yes.
And we know that there has been. And I want to say religion, not true faith, not true believing churches, but religion has built up a system of clutter and corruption.
Amen.
That keeps people, right? Some of you know that because that's why you're here. I'm like, praise God, that's why I'm here. Because I say, well, what do we do about that? What do we do about the fact that religion has sometimes cluttered and corrupted things to the point where people from all nations are not able to come and to worship their God? Well, say, hey, maybe start a new church, amen? I mean, that's one thing you do. You say, let's clear off everything. Let's start from scratch. And let's just see what happens, right? But that's a question for us today. What tables need to be turned over in our religion so that people can come to know Christ? How are we going to know what to do? How are we going to know what to do? Well, I have an answer for you. You want an answer?
Yes.
You're not going to like it because it's too simple. It's going to sound too simple and too trite. As soon as I say it, some of you are going to be disappointed. Because it's not robust enough, but it's a very simple answer, and it's one that's found in the text. What is the one thing that we can do? Is pray. It's prayer. What was the purpose of the temple? To be a house of prayer. Oh man, but that's just too simple. No, no, it's prayer. Well, what does prayer do? Well, it killed a fig tree. It killed a pit bull in Mexico several years ago. I apologize. Jesus says it moves mountains. It moves mountains.
Amen.
It moves mountains.
Amen.
Come on. It moves mountains.
Amen.
It literally moves mountains. Well, what does prayer do? Well, what does prayer do? Well, I don't know. Maybe your praying is too weak. Maybe it doesn't have enough faith. We got all these tiny little prayers, right? Sometimes the only time we pray is when we sit down to eat. Lord, bless this food to our bodies. Amen. Wow. That's something big. Suddenly that piece of macaroni and cheese is, oh, that's blessing my stomach. It's blessed. I've been too blessed, praise God. Sorry, I've just been a little too blessed by the food that God has given us. And sometimes the food doesn't bless me in my older age, but we won't talk about that. But you pray that it would bless you. What is that? God, give me a good day at school today. Wow. Does that mean you're going to get $100 given to you? I mean, what kind of selfish, weak little prayer is that? Give me a good day, God. Well, here's the next step. I said, God, would you bless Lisa today? Well, now, wait a minute. Now we're getting somewhere, right? Because I'm asking God to do what he thinks is absolutely the best for Lisa's life. Oh man, now I'm not praying for myself any longer. I'm praying when I say, Lord, bless Lisa. I'm saying, God, do what is the absolute best by your power and by your authority in her life.
Amen.
So that she can come to know who you are. See, here's the key. We have struggled, right? We say, I hear this prayer, right? But I prayed for things. They didn't happen. This verse doesn't match my reality. I prayed for this person and they didn't get healed. I prayed for a job and I didn't get a job. I prayed for this and it didn't happen. I don't understand this verse. I don't understand what God's saying because I prayed and no mountains have moved. What is the key to this entire passage? Come on, somebody remember it. What was the word I've been talking about the whole time? What's the story all about?
Authority.
Say it, authority. 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 When we operate, when we flow in the authority of God, then your prayers get answered.
Amen.
Why do you think we pray in Jesus' name? Because his name has authority and his name has power. And if you just say it without thinking about it, then boy, you're playing with fire. You are playing with fire and you'd better watch out. Because if you're just like, in Jesus' name, amen. Whoa. You just invoked the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, the firstborn over all creation, the one who created all authorities, the one who said the temple is done, the one who said, I am the way to God, the one who said, I am the Messiah, I am the King, I am the Lord, I am the Savior. You just called on my name.
Amen.
And you better be like, oh, in Jesus' name, amen. Woo! You better step, you better open your eyes while you're praying that prayer, and you better step back. Because you just called on the authority and the power of Jesus.
Yes.
I've prayed for people. I prayed for someone to be healed. 2 years later, they passed away. Did God not answer my prayer? No. Well, at the time I prayed, God said, okay, I'll give your friend 2 more years. Because that's the authority of God, right?
Yes.
That's the authority of God. I'm praying in the authority of God. If I pray for something and it doesn't happen, then I'm not praying in the authority of God. God's not authorizing that to happen, right? So my prayer is just off. It's not that God's off, it's that I'm off. My prayer's off because I'm not in that place where I'm listening to and seeking the authority of God in my life, right? But if you pray under the authority, then it's going to happen, right? If you pray under the authority, it's going to happen. If it doesn't happen, you're not praying under the authority. It's okay. We all do it. It's okay that your prayers don't get answered. It's really all right. Not every kid gets everything they want from their parents. It's okay. We'll live. We'll survive. What we need to do is we need to be in connection with God so that we understand his authority. And that when we say, God, put me under your authority. God, be in charge of my life. God, lead me. God, show me what your will is. Together as a church, we say, God, show us what your will is. God, show us, is there anything, God, that we need to get rid of? Is there anything that's cluttering the place? God, keep us from the corruption that happens in religion, God. Keep us from manipulating and abusing other people. Keep us from judging other people, God. Lord, show us what the thing is to do. Amen? Amen. Show us, God, what to do. Show us, God, what to do, and we will do it. And when we follow you and when we do what you told us to do, then we pray and things happen. That's how I was able to kill that dog. Because God authorized it. That dog was a demon dog. And God authorized it in that moment so that those people could be saved. Man, get up here. I told you, as soon as you start crying, you'll start playing. I told you, man. You were stunned, man. What up? You were stunned, man. You were stunned, all right? Dude was stunned. I don't know what was going on. Holy Spirit, he was like, amen. Because of those people that received salvation.
Amen.
My God.
Thank you.
Because a little kid maybe wasn't bit and had to go to the hospital. Because there was a moment when we were there because it was too crazy to not be God. There's no way we get to that place and it's not God. It was way too crazy. But the authority of God was there and it was upon us. And so there might come another night where I'm laying in my bed. Dogs are barking. I just want to get some sleep. And I'm like, Lord, curse that dog. That's not God's authority. That's my desire. You know, that's out of myself. But friends, we can get to the point together. I know we're not there yet. I know we're not there yet. But together we can get to the point where we understand the authority of God to the point where we can pray and mighty things are going to happen. Because Jesus came and he cleared the temple and he cursed the fig tree. Because prayer was not happening. Because prayer, people of all nations were not coming together to pray and to seek the presence of God together. And that's all we want to do, is pray and seek the presence of God together. Can we do that this morning? Would you bow your heads in prayer? However you want to pray, there's freedom in this place. You may need to stand and lift your hands right now. You may need to just do it. Whatever, the authority of God, what God's putting in your spirit right now, you need to respond to it. You need to respond to right now. If you need to stand and raise your hand, if you need to kneel, I just invite you to pray right now. And not just for yourself this morning, man. Would you pray for this church? Would you pray for this community? Would you pray that God would just clear the path? We want you all to be able to come. Everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome at this table. The table of the Lord. It belongs to him. And I believe just some of you need to just confess. Can I call upon some of you to just confess God's authority in this place right now? Can you just do that? Just say, God, this is your place. This is your table. This is your worship. This is your building. This is your neighborhood. These are your streets, God. These are your apartment buildings. That's your hospital. Trinity, some of you students, start praying right now. That college belongs to the Lord. The earth is the Lord. Everything's in it. Claim the Lord's authority over your life, over the life of your loved ones. Just some of you right now, just claim God's authority. Say, God, you have authority in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, respond to God. Some of you need to kneel. Some of you need to get up. Just start praying right now. I'm praying right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Just keep praying. We're just going to be in the season of prayer for just a moment. But we need God's authority in our life if we want His power in our life. Amen. We need God's authority in our life if we want His power in our life. Oh, God. God, I need Your authority in my life, God. If I want Your power in my life. To the one who has rescued my soul. To the one who has welcomed me home. Welcomed me home. To the one who is Savior of all. We sing forever. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, you have rescued my soul. Jesus, you welcomed me home. I was lost. I had no place to go. But you said, come on in. Come in. This is my house. This is my table. You are welcome here. You are accepted here. You are transformed here. Not by anyone else, but by the power and the authority of God. You are transformed. Lord, I speak that over lives this morning, God. There are lives here this morning that want to change so badly, and that change has not come. I speak over you in the authority in the name of Jesus Christ, that you be transformed and changed today in Jesus' name. That in Jesus' name, if something needs to change in your life, that it will change today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. In the authority of Jesus, because that's what this place is about. This place is a place of healing and transformation and restoration. Hallelujah. Because the Lord has said so. Because the Lord has said so. Because the Lord has said so. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Speak, God. Oh, I need some people in here to listen. I need some people right now. God is speaking words. Receive those words because you're going to need to share them with us right now. Right now, God is speaking a word. Grab it, hang on to it, write it down. I need some listeners right now. Write it down, type it down, don't forget it. God is speaking. Some of you are hearing it for us. Grab those words right now.